very much in favor of the counting of points.
Does it work for you? No.
Hello, and welcome back to The Run Through, your favorite figure skating podcast, where we talk all things that make us kiss, make us cry, and make us go, you guys, it's not really four continents yet, but it kind of is, but it's definitely not. So what are we actually going to talk about today?
Well, I thought, what better way to stimulate the women of the podcast by...
Stimulate us?
Yes.
Am I getting a stimulus check out of this?
Yes.
No.
Signed by Kamala Harris.
Oh, too soon.
Old checks. They'll bounce. Now, the thing is I thought that we could do a Four Continents trivia, which I know everybody who's listening is going, oh my God, I've been waiting for the Four Continents trivia.
Yeah, everybody thinks they can beat us at this, and they're right.
I've actually been shouting that the loudest.
From the rooftops.
Yeah.
Before we begin, I did hear from a famous listener, and they did come with a suggestion, I would say almost with a request, but I do think that as a podcast, we need to vote on it to see if it does pass or if it does kind of fall to the cutting room floor.
Oh, okay. My God. Are we more of a democracy as a podcast than our current government is?
Well, that's a low bar.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a low bar. It's pretty easy to be more of a democracy than the current government.
That's true. Okay.
Also, before I even begin that, I want to say that I was cold when I started this and I had to take off my sweatshirt, which the sweatshirt I was wearing was the Iron Butterfly merch.
Wait, you were cold or you were hot? You got
I was
hot
cold,
in your sweatshirt?
So I got hot. I had to take it off. Otherwise, you guys would be seeing me in my, I think I'm spiraling Iron Butterfly sweatshirt.
Wow. Isn't it so cute?
Yeah, and it's very nice.
Oh, it's soft?
It's very good.
I want one of those.
Oh, you need it. We
I'm
all
gonna
need
get
them.
One in Boston.
It's a must for every podcast listener. To have an Iron Butterfly sweatshirt, which I'm not wearing right now, but I was. I want everyone to know that. Now, back on topic.
Yeah, what? Okay, who is the famous listener and what do we need to vote on?
What's the proposal?
So the proposal is from the famous listener of Andrew Torgashev.
Okay, yeah. So famous. Pizza King himself.
So he came to, I will say me, but I will say us to keep this legal. He came to us and proposed that for his fans, that they could be called the Torgonators.
Oh.
No.
I feel like I saw this online as a possible suggestion. Did I make... I might have made that up, though. That could have been Alyssinators, and I'm applying it. Okay, so that is what he wants them to be called, or he's just throwing out an additional option?
He took the tone with me. And yeah, he took a tone with me.
Was this in person or via
This was via
social
written
media.
DM text.
Got it. Okay.
Within
Go
the
on.
Texts of the DMs.
Right.
Now, I come to you with the proposal of Slices versus Torgonators. All in favor of Slices, say aye.
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 Well, that's done.
Unfortunately, Andrew Torgashev.
This is not a democracy for
but
you.
Here's the thing. You can't choose your own
career.
No. I think if he came to you and said, I want the fans to call themselves this, I would feel differently than him sort of throwing it out as an option. Because who am I to say what his fans should call themselves? But if we have the option, I prefer Slices.
Well, who are we? We're Torgonators. We're Slices.
We're Slices ourselves. I identify more as a Slice than a Torgonator.
If anything, you would need to just stick within the theme of pizza, obviously. So then go with something that's in line with at least a topping, like the Torgaronis. I don't know, but...
Torgaronis?
Yeah, like pepperoni. I don't know.
No, I knew where your head was
tortellinis.
Going. I wasn't thrown off. The tortellinis.
That's Italian food. That goes with pizza. It counts.
Unfortunately, Slices is incredibly good.
Yeah, I mean, I think Like, you could be a Torgonator within the Pizza Kingdom, and it could be you can self-identify as a slice or a Torgonator and be part of the Pizza Kingdom.
An amendment.
Which one is a bigger fan?
That is for them to fight it out. That is for them to prove.
I guess we're slices, and if I were to see a Torgonator walking down the street, I would inherently assume I'm better.
They might assume the same thing, though, about themselves.
So then how do we fix this?
There's nothing to fix.
We don't. Fight. There's nothing to
Rivalries
fix.
Are healthy for sports.
Yes.
A rivalry within a fandom.
It's like, wait, can I tell you a
Is there another example of this, though?
Yes. Wait, can I tell you a story?
Yes.
When Yuna started doing these shows in Korea, I did one of the all that skates. And this is when I learned that I had two rival fan clubs who hated each other.
What?
Yes. The Addams Family and Addams Apples. And Addams Apples hated the Addams Family. And I didn't
realize...
Was
the feeling mutual, though? Or was the Addams Family like, we don't care about those losers?
Well, I only know that I thanked, I don't know, the fans, my fans. I don't know.
Right. You kept blanket statements going.
And somebody pressed me. This is like Twitter, and I'm saying in 2009, okay? Like, this is years and years and years ago. We're going on 20 years, and somebody pressed me, and I went, all of them, and that was not a good answer. Who are you thinking? All of the fans. No. Name the group.
Pick one.
Family or Apples. And so what ended up happening in the end is they both fan clubs fell apart.
And then you had no fans left.
None.
You offended both of them equally by not picking a side.
Yes. Oh. And that's why you should always pick a side.
Have I ever told either of you that to me the most disgusting part of the male body is the Adam's apple? It makes me squeamish.
Really?
I can't.
You really did shiver. I'm not disagreeing with you because I don't really want to touch mine. Like, I just know it's there.
Yeah, I don't really think about it that much.
It's weird now that you're saying, I'm like, why is something stuck there? Like, what's there?
Yes. And what is it?
I kind of want it gone now. I don't like.
Well, it sounds like you're choosing the Addams Family then over the Addams Apples.
Well, here we are 18 years later.
Finally.
Let me go back on Twitter.com.
So if you were part of the Addams Family, you don't have to be in hiding any longer. And if you were in the Addams Apples, you should stay hidden.
In Korea.
Disbanded.
You should stay in Korea. Now, speaking of Korea, do we have anything before we'd like to begin the quiz?
Okay, do we want, because I feel like we have identified some topics of conversation that are not specific to four continents.
Mm-hmm.
Do we want to do a little chit chat about those first and then end on the quiz or do the quiz first?
I want to start to chit chat first and then let's go back to business.
I'm ready to chat.
Yeah.
Okay. So one of the things that I had written down during Nationals that I wanted us to talk about, and then our Nationals recap episode was so long that we just didn't really get to general topics, was like, I want to talk about commentary in figure skating.
Mm-hmm.
Like on-air commentary. And just to start, like, I'm not even setting us up for a particular point of view. It was just, we've all worked in and around commentary on TV and obviously have listened to it and watched different broadcasts with different commentators, whatever. I'm curious if you guys have, like, what is your ideal level of commentary? And what do you think it should be in an ideal world on different platforms?
I think that people have such intense opinions about commentary without fully understanding how hard commentary is, because there is a balance, and I can speak to what I've seen online about people yelling at me for talking down to them or people yelling at Johnny and Tara for talking too much. It's like, we only have so much time to make a point. Our job is to speak to the listener as if they are kind of casually sitting with us, but at the same time, maybe they don't know everything about the sport. So it's really tough to please the longtime fans who really understand all these technical elements in skating and not make it feel like we're dumbing things down for them, but also the casual viewer who watches once a quad, you want them to understand what they're seeing too. So it's this weird balance. And then for me, when I'm on the world feed and I see a lot of people who are like really complimentary of my commentary, I have the luxury of sitting for the most part quietly because I get to make my points over the replays. And then when you have NBC coverage, they don't have that time because they have commercials. So it's inherently going to be a completely different commentary style because it's a completely different job.
Okay. I agree. I totally agree with what you're saying about like the different commentary styles where it's just like, when I did the world feed with you, Ashley, the last time, yes, we get to talk over all the replays and in the kiss and cry. We have tons of time to just let a program like sit and breathe.
Yeah.
Now, what I'm going to say next is I think that I am really in the minority because I know a lot of people would prefer that there wasn't as much commentary while the programs are happening. But I've never been bothered by the commentary. And in fact, I think because I like to talk about what's happening in real time, I really like to hear the opinions of other people. And I also feel that the commentators have this opportunity to push you in the direction of feeling a certain way about something where you're like, wow, I feel this is really good. And when I can hear the commentator go, this is a moment they've been waiting for, like I start to get really excited. I feel like I'm even more invested because especially when the commentary team is in the arena, I feel like they're speaking to the energy inside the building and I feel even more a part of it. And so I know that some people don't like the commentary, but like even in the opening of our podcast, triple toe, double toe, and then a fall from Dick Button, like that puts me right back into watching 1997 U.S. Nationals, Michelle Kwan falls. The whole stakes of what's happening to her, I can feel it. I remember that I am doing my last spin in like from a Nationals in like 2015, and I can hear Johnny say, everybody better stand up right now. And I can hear that in my head. I can hear when Ashley's finishing a program that I've watched a million times, Tara or Terry or somebody saying, this is an incredible moment. Like all of the commentary sticks in my brain like a freaking cattle stamp. Like I love the commentary and I know I'm in the minority.
No, but I feel like you're bringing up the kind of commentary that is easy to like. I don't think that specific type of commentary that you're bringing up is the problem. I think it's the commentary where I find commentary really jarring sometimes. And I absolutely am the person where like a skater will be coming around the corner and they're still talking and I'm like, shut up. Like I want to feel that tension start to build. And I feel like sometimes the only way for that to happen is to be quiet and let the skater build that tension instead of you saying they're headed into this, like, you know, just context, 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 context. I think there's a time and a place. I do think that right now we're being fed a lot of context and I just wish there was a little bit less. The skating is good enough to create that excitement. And when you talk over it a lot, then it's no longer about the skating and it's about your narrative. And we have to like find that balance.
Sarah, I'm very interested in your opinion.
Yes.
Because you had the chance to watch all of it on TV.
I think, you know, first I'll say that, you know, Ashley is completely right about the conditions dictating a lot of this, conditions and timing. And I think that's something that you just can't get around, like in the broadcast linear TV space, the commercial breaks are always going to force most of the commentary to live over the live program, which is not always going to be the favorite, especially for people who already know what they're watching. So that, like, there's only so much they can do. But I think, like, to your point, Adam, I think there is commentary that is really memorable and emotional and really adds to the moment. And those are like the great calls that you remember in your life. Like, obviously, I'm more inclined to remember this because people remind me of it all the time. But like 2002, Syracuse, Tom Hammond says at the end, Syracuse just brought the house down, as like the whole place is on their feet. It's so loud. It's those like simple little quick calls a lot of times that are the ones that stick in your brain, like the one you're talking about with Johnny about people getting on their feet. And I think those are the things that commentary really does add. And then there are times when commentary can feel like extra talking just because. And I think that's, I mean, to Ashley's very, very first sentence about this, people underestimate how hard it is to do it and to do it well and to find the balance of trying to educate people who need it versus, you know, trying to meet educated fans where they are. And also taking the fans out of it, trying to give the skater or skaters their moment and let their art come through the way that it was intended to come through, which is with music and not with commentary, right? Like that's the piece of art that's done is not done with talking in mind unless, you know, you have spoken word within the track. So I think that is like a really hard balance to find. And I, as I have gone on, you know, when I first started working on figure skating, I didn't know a ton about it. And as I have gotten more and more educated, it has become my preference more and more to have less and less commentary, because I can appreciate the art more than I used to be able to. Does that make sense? And so now I'm like dying to see it the way that the choreographer and the skater had in mind for me. But I think that's lost on less educated viewers, right? Like not that, oh, you can't appreciate good art because you don't watch it a lot. That's not really what I mean, but I think it's less important to them, you know, when it, or it's equally important to them to know what they're seeing, whereas I don't need that extra layer.
I need to be in the right frame of mind to hear no commentary. I need to be in the artsy fartsy, no malarkey kind of
that's
mindset.
Sort of the I live in that mindset.
I don't want to watch skating without commentary. I don't like it. It feels naked to me.
It does feel nude. Yes.
It's indecent. It needs to have a voice layered on top of it. I think, you know what I really don't like in commentary? When the commentary becomes relating to another person on the broadcast or having more of a conversation with another person on the broadcast. I think the commentary that I prefer is always directly connected to what you're watching and either giving context to the athlete experience, to the creative process, or to the technical element going on. Like when you're just two people talking, I don't want to listen to a conversation. I want to listen to commentary.
Yeah, and that's hard because it's going to sound more natural if you have someone that you're talking to next to you, right? It's like the comments themselves come off sounding more natural if you're having them in a conversation with somebody else. But then once you start kind of playing off of each other like that, it becomes a lot of talking really quickly. And like that can just get away from you without that ever being your intention.
I always want to feel that the stakes are high, whether I'm watching Sherry Zhang or whether I'm watching Amber Glenn. I want to feel
the
like
the stakes are high.
Always high for Sherry Zhang. I don't know why you're using that as an example. Go on.
Yeah. I'm using it as an example because I wanted to, that's the first question on the quiz. Are the stakes always high for Sherry Zhang? You both do kind of start the quiz before we even start with a point.
Yeah, thank you. And I think the other thing is that can get lost sometimes, again, like sort of by accident, in where you're, I mean, Ashley, you, I mean, both of you know this. You did the World Feed together last year. Ashley did it again this year. I think over time, as you're just doing program after program after program, you can like forget. It feels like this one long show to you. And I think it would benefit, like, it's better to think of each individual program as its own little mini show. but it's really hard to do that because you're sitting there and you just have to keep going, especially on the world feed where you have no commercials to break it up. Mm-hmm. But yeah, even when you do have commercials, like, you're on the air the whole time. I mean, that's like, you're sitting there, you're at attention the whole time. Like, and I think what happens over time is like, you're thinking maybe in terms of like how much you've talked overall rather than like in this individual space on this individual person's program. And so then you end up with these kind of imbalances of like some people have these really amazing moments and great commentary calls and some people it's like too much and some people maybe it's even too little and you get a little imbalanced like that.
I want to point out one thing. I want the listeners to know that Sarah is very good at her job and Sarah has coached us through our own commentary. So when I'm listening to everything that Sarah's saying, I'm also taking notes and I'm going, exactly.
How can we be better? Exactly.
Because it's easy to forget. Sometimes we always dumb you down, which is kind of the whole goal. Not Olympic champion, but she is a professional producer. And I think that.
And a two-time Emmy winner.
Yeah. Literally. Oh my
God. Well, thank you for saying that. I think it's like sports TV / streaming is like an ever-changing, you know, I won't go so far as to say an art, but it's sort of, well, maybe I will. Like, it's
an art.
It's an art. Like, a produced show is like a, you know, a symphony of a bunch of different instruments, basically, of like different elements that you're bringing together for one thing. And it is ever-changing. Like, my opinions on commentary are different from, you know, competition to competition. Like, I was watching Europeans, a lot of it on the world feed, and they had Ashley, one of your UK guys, did that, Chris. And I was not really enjoying his commentary on that. And I think that he actually was talking kind of what I would think of as sort of the perfect balance, like perfect amount. He wasn't over talking. He wasn't under talking. He was right where I think he should be. But he was not offering me anything in terms of like a real professional opinion on what he was seeing. Even though I know that he knows what he's watching, he's done it for a long time, but I think he was so intent on being positive the whole time that he didn't help me as a viewer differentiate between programs or between skaters. And so it was especially apparent on the dance, right? Which for like even an educated viewer, if you're not an ice dancer, can be hard to separate performances. Mm-hmm. And I just felt like for like program after program after program, he just was like, wow, that was phenomenal. That was so incredible. Those things can be true about everybody. And I think all three of us agree that every skater is doing stuff that is really hard and amazing. Mm-hmm. But part of your job as a commentator is to tell a viewer why someone is going to win over the other person.
Right.
And that's not being negative. That's, you know, there's a way to do that that's not negative. That's just pointing out, you know, these are the things that separate this person from this person. And these are the things that are, you know, room for improvement in this person's skating or this team's presentation or whatever it may be. And that's another balance that's hard to find. Like, it's hard to find the balance of talking the right amount. It's hard to find the balance of criticizing constructively versus being positive and celebrating the sport. Like, there's just... commentary's hard. I know. I'm sorry. I feel like I just talked for 40 straight minutes. But
No. You brought up, I was going to bash positivity and you managed to do it in a way that wasn't so bashing, but was making a really thoughtful point. And I'm not saying that my commentary is the best at all. I have so much to learn and I have so much further I can go to improve. That being said, my goal, at least I think over the last 2 years, has been I would like to be a commentator where the skaters can come back and they're not cringing when they're watching their program and I'm talking over it, but I am giving context to why something might be bad instead of putting it in kind of a blame viewpoint. I think sometimes when you start to criticize athletes, every athlete, it's completely fair for you to get criticized. It's completely fair for commentators to not like your program. It's an opinion, and we are giving our opinion on air. That being said, if someone has a disaster program, I think it's your job as a commentator to be like, that was really rough. Here's a couple of reasons why that was rough.
Really, I think one of the greatest commentators of all time in any sport really is Dick Button. Because you knew that if it was good, he said it was good. And if it wasn't good, he said it wasn't good. He didn't beat around the bush. He may have had a sharp tongue, but he was honest. And you knew that he was going to be honest about what he saw. And you wanted Dick Button's honest opinion and you wanted his approval.
And that's why I moved to Boston.
Because you're the girl from Boston. And you went, I have to make this right. I can't correct him. I have to make this right.
Well, I can't let Dick Button be wrong. He can't be wrong. So I'll make him right.
Yeah, Ashley, that was the one thing, and I do mean the one positive thing about me not going to Nationals, because I was mostly sad to not be there, was to be able to switch back and forth between the different platforms and get the different viewing experiences.
Mm-hmm.
And also was able to just like be a little more engaged in like what fans were saying about it, because I feel like a lot of that stuff will miss me if I'm like working the event the whole week. So yeah, I always felt like, you know, Adam, I agree. Dick was a great commentator. I always loved Tanith's commentary on Ice Dance. Like, she was so good, and she kind of, you know, I'd be interested to hear, like, I wish we should like try to have like Johnny, Tara, or whoever on here. I'm so like, everybody has such a different process, but you know, mm-hmm. Tanith was so good about like, you know, trying to make sure that the comments were poignant and like meant something. Like, she didn't want to talk just to talk. Like, she wanted what she was saying to be important and meaningful and educational, and add insight. And if it didn't, she didn't want to say it because she wanted to let the skating speak for itself. And I think that that is something that gets lost on commentators sometimes too, is just that, like, actually sometimes, most of the time, the less you talk, the more people listen to what you have mm-hmm. to say. If you're more selective about what you're saying, obviously you don't have that much of an option, you know, especially like if you're on a world feed, Ashley, you just have to talk through the whole thing. Like, you have to be talking.
Oh yeah.
And you know, the same is true for the broadcast. Like, they need to be talking. That's their job.
They're literally getting paid to talk.
Yeah. That's their job. And so, yeah, I mean, I will say this till I'm blue in the face. It's just very hard to do well, and to, you know, and there's no perfect formula for a wide array of viewers who have a different experience and different wants and needs from the commentary. But I'm glad we talked about this, because I also wanted to talk about something that Sean Rabbit brought up about the commentary. He didn't think that the NBC broadcast needed to do so much talking about under rotations. And I'm curious what you guys think of this. I know that, Ashley, obviously you weren't watching those specific broadcasts, but you've seen broadcasts before. And you yourself, yeah. I'm sure, were talking about under rotations at different points. How much do you think for fans slash, no, just for fans, I guess, fans slash casual viewers, I'll say, how much is it important to like get into the weeds about rules like under rotations that will affect the scoring in the end?
I feel like if it's egregious, highlight it at some point in a broadcast to make the point of this was extremely under-rotated so that the audience understands that rotation matters. I think there's a time and a place to highlight this is an issue we're going to be looking out for. But then when it comes down to, I don't know if I agree with the tech panel on this, I would have reviewed that. I think there is a time and a place, especially when it's kind of deciding a podium. But outside of that, for me, I don't care. And that's because I just wouldn't want anyone to be highlighting all of my under rotations. But besides that, no, but like beside that, like if this person is destined to get a 7th place finish, they're going to be securely middle of the pack. I think in summarizing, you could easily say the tech panel is going to go back and be reviewing their rotations. Leave it at that. So then the viewer isn't confused about why they stood up on all these jumps, but their score is less. Really picking apart a jump for a lot of athletes.
But how much do you think it matters for an overall audience? Like, taking your own preference out of it, how much do you think it matters?
The commentators have access to what's happening in real time with the judges. So they can see how the elements are coming in. And so in a way, I feel like it is kind of important because it clues me into how is she being judged? What score should I expect from her? And why is she getting the score that she's getting? The under rotations can like really affect a score. So I think that, like Ashley's saying, yes, there's a time and a place for them, but you know, that when people are getting dinged with under rotations, it can really manipulate what place they find themselves in at the end of an event.
Well, I'm not saying don't talk about the under rotations at all. I think what I'm saying more is when it gets into your opinion about the under rotations, you can give context. She is going to receive an under rotation, but not, I think this needs to be called under rotated, unless it's an egregious error or it's really going to make a difference in who finishes on the podium. Taking time to talk about whether or not you as the commentator feel like there needs to be a rotation, under rotation call there, I don't know if that's worth the airtime it's going to take up.
Let's think about Ashley at Cup of China. If you want... No laughs, nothing. Okay, fine.
Well, it's I have too something soon. To say about that. It's too soon.
It was seven years ago. You watch a program like that, right? And, mm-hmm. You know, or like Karen Chen would have programs that had a lot of under rotations in them, right? You watch programs where like the choreography is really good, the performance is really good, and they stand up on all their stuff. I do think you need to talk with the viewer,
address that
in like a detailed way about why that person is going to go into whatever place they're going to go into, because only you have access to that information watching the scores come in the commentary mm-hmm. booth, where you can see which jumps are getting an under rotation and which ones aren't. I understood where Sean was coming from, which was like, there is a time when that can take away from the moment that someone is having, you know, and sometimes, you know, that is a context thing, Ashley, of like you were saying, like, it depends a little on the person, right? Like, if it's right. somebody who has just made it to nationals for the first time, and they're just like, so happy to be there, and they're not a podium favorite, and they stand up on all their jumps, there is no need. Mm-hmm. There is really no need. I think you can say it as a broad statement. Like, there are some technical issues here. They're under rotating some of their jumps. That's going to affect their score. But I think you can wait for that until like the kiss and cry. You know what I mean? That doesn't have to come mm-hmm. immediately in a replay, or certainly not over like bows or during the live program. Like, I just don't think you have to do that. I do think it's helpful context. It's just, for some people, it's more helpful than others. If somebody was going to always get in the range of 7th to 10th place, then there's only so much you really need to say. But if someone was going to get 3rd and they appear like they're going to go into the lead or something to an untrained eye, and then they're going to go into 5th, that's a different situation. So I think that's, it depends on who it is and what the moment is and where the scores are sitting and stuff. There's a judgment call, but I don't think that you can take, you know, the way that things are scored out of the commentary. Like, what's more annoying to me is that the scoring system is so obtuse and difficult to explain succinctly and quickly that it does take away from the moment to do it. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. And I'm yes. not advocating here for like it's a 6.0 clumsy. System, but it's not
I'm
that
almost
anymore.
Ready to.
It's not that anymore. So when you try as a commentator to tell somebody why something is happening, it immediately gets long because everything is complicated and everything is like has all these different layers and different particular rules for different things. And there's 3 types of under rotations now. And it's like, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And I right. think, so I feel like some of the frustration that maybe Sean or somebody else would feel about that is more because of the way the rules are and less because of the way the commentators are.
Actually, this makes me want to shout out one last commentator who has a completely, totally different style. And it's PJ Kwong. And she commentates like she is an AI bot. But it is... at times really, it's really nice. She calls exactly what she sees. If there is an under rotation, she sees it's an under rotation. If there's an issue with a jump, she sees an issue with a jump. She highlights excellent technique on this jump, but it's very like cut, dry, quick, short. She's not waxing poetically. She's not telling a story. She's reading a bio and she's telling you what happened. And sometimes I really enjoy that when I just want to see the cut and dry, know what's going on, completely different style.
Yeah. And I think every commentator has, like we said, just different styles and different strengths. Like I think there's almost no one who is better than Tara at like making you feel like she can put emotion into her voice in a way that I think is so hard to do. Like, and that's something that's really hard to coach people to do when they come in to do TV, is be like, you want the viewer to feel the excitement that you're feeling. So you need it to be in your voice. And that doesn't come naturally to a lot of people. It's really hard to like, I don't want to say it's artificial, but you do have to sort of make it even a little bit bigger than it feels to you sometimes to make sure it comes through in a non-visual medium. And like, I think she's so, so good at that. Like,
I agree.
You know, and like, it, like, you know, so I think like, and that's something that maybe wasn't always like a Tanith strength necessarily, but Tanith had all these incredible analytical comments that made me feel like I was learning something every time she opened her mouth. Like, and I think that happens with all the commentators, right? There's different moments that are great and less so. But it's just a hard job. It's a really hard job.
It is a hard job that nobody will ever be happy with.
Yeah, you can't please everybody.
These commentators are held to such a higher standard, I think, because this is an art form. I think that people are hard on football commentators, for instance, and people have favorites, and there are ways to be good and bad at that. I'm not saying there's not, but I think it's just less scrutinized because talking over a game like that, you're not interrupting a piece of the art to do it.
Yes.
And in this case, you are.
But also these programs go on to live on YouTube and people go back and watch them regularly. Whereas, you know, maybe people do this with football, but I think it's way less common for people to go back and watch a rewatch a football game. And so now your commentary ends up becoming part of the piece in some way. And I think that's another reason why people have some really strong opinions about it.
Yeah. So in conclusion, we have no conclusions.
Yeah. There's another thing I'm thinking of right now. And I remember Sasha Cohen skating at Nationals and it was her slow part. And Peggy Fleming goes, her nickname is the China Doll.
Wait, this is one of your favorite things because I've heard about this so many times from you.
I always think, like, she was training in Aliso Viejo. Who in Aliso Viejo, California, was going, oh, that's Sasha. Her nickname is the China Doll.
The China Doll.
Me training there.
I was actually made it up.
That rink, by the way, the smallest rink of all time. I can't believe that I trained with like five pair teams at once on a freestyle in that rink because it's not regulation size. There's no way.
No, it was unregulated, actually, is what they called
unregulated it. Unregulated NHL ice. And then Mr. Nick's in the middle with like Uggs on.
Something else that's unregulated is the four continents trivia, which are you ladies ready to get into it?
Not at all. Let's go.
Now, before we begin, the four continents are the Americas, Africa, Asia, Australia. And what would be the missing continent from the Olympic rings is Europe. And I always felt like, why do they do the two Americas as one? You know?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's not so much a quiz question, more of a...
That's just a open-ended. You question.
Yeah. So if you're wondering why, what are the four continents, the Americas are grouped as one. So that's a bit of knowledge. I'm sure everybody knew it. They're like, please get on with it.
Okay. Wait, I have a question.
Uh-huh. Didn't even start. And we're already starting with questions. Yes.
Okay, so Europeans... Was Four Continents a direct response to Europeans where it was like, oh, you guys are going to segment yourself off to this own little thing? Well, we're all going to combine and do our own thing.
I think Europeans existed a long time before.
Right. No, I assume that Europeans came first.
The European Figure Skating Championships have been held continuously since 1891. With only 5 interruptions.
World wars.
And COVID. And have been sanctioned by the ISU since 1893.
Wow.
Women were allowed to compete in the first for the first time in 1930.
This is all about Eurotest, still talking about Europeans.
This is the European Championships, which kind of leads us into our first question on the quiz. Should we begin?
We're ready.
I have a question. Are Ashley and I working together or against each other?
Can we work together, please?
Oh, my God. Yes.
Yeah, work together because there aren't many multiple choice questions.
Okay, so we'll discuss amongst ourselves and then give a final answer for each one. Okay. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
Oh, I can't wait to fight. Okay.
I can't wait to break up a fight. Yeah. So our first question. The ISU established the Four Continents Championships in what year?
Oh, nope. This feels like a 80s thing. What do you think, Sarah?
Okay, I feel like this is in the 90s. I don't think it's as old as the 80s. I want to say like 1997, 98.
Oh, I was thinking late 80s, like 87.
I don't think it's that old. I think it's pretty new. I think it's in the late 90s. I want to go 98, I think, or 99 even. Like, well, so if we think about 2000s? Olympic quads, it would make sense to do the first one in 99.
I know, but I don't remember ever hearing about Michelle Kwan at Four Continents.
Well, maybe she never went. That doesn't mean it didn't exist. I mean, you're talking about it existing in the 80s, so she still would have gone.
I'm following your logic, and now I'm like, wow, you're right.
I want to go 1999.
Okay.
Okay.
Ashley, do you agree with me or no? What do you want our final answer to be?
I want to go like 2001 now.
It sounds like you're on different teams.
It's not 2001 because Ilya's mom won. Oh, wait. Ilya's mom won Four Continents in one of the first years it was in, and it was like 2000 or 2001 or 2002, somewhere
okay,
in there.
Okay, we're on separate teams now, and it's 2001 in my guess.
Okay, well, I'm just going to go with 1999, the beginning of that Olympic quad.
That makes a lot of sense, Sarah.
Okay, the answer is...
You've already... gotten rid of me as your teammate. So what's the answer?
We're fighting. See, I told you we're gonna fight.
The answer is 1999.
LOL.
Good for you.
You lost. Why did you get rid of me as your teammate?
Because I'm an individual athlete.
You asked for me to be on your team though, too.
Yeah, and she also kicked you off. So what else do you want to know?
I'm here to cause strife. And stress.
It's working.
And if I'm going to be wrong, I might as well do that.
Okay.
That's a good mindset, Ashley.
Thanks. Okay.
Now, the Four Continents is dominated by the United States, Japan, Canada, and China. They've won a combined 287 medals out of 300 possible medals.
Oh, wow.
Only 4 other countries have medaled. Name them.
South Korea.
Mm-hmm.
Kazakhstan.
Mm-hmm.
You said 4 others?
Mm-hmm. There's 2 more now. The silence is deafening.
Deafening.
You said U.S., Japan, China, and Canada.
Yes. And now
you said South Korea.
And Kazakhstan.
We have Kazakhstan.
There's 2 more.
Okay. South Korea, Kazakhstan. I'm going to be in...
Georgia?
Georgia's
the
in
European country of Georgia, Ashley?
Well, I get a little bit confused about the
Gubanova, European champion from last
thank
year.
Thank you. No, thank
okay,
you.
Okay, 30
I
more
appreciate
seconds.
It. Okay. Australia, randomly? Did they win something?
North Korea.
Yes.
Yes.
One what? More.
Okay. Shoot.
Ashley went, what?
No, when were they competing?
They pop in and out every now and then. Okay. Time's up.
What Singapore? Is
it? Now, Sarah,
because
you did mention that Ilya's mom
won. Uzbekistan.
Yes. Ugh. So it's South Korea, Kazakhstan, Uzbekistan, and North Korea. North Korea, to let you know, Ashley, they won a bronze in pairs in 2018.
Yeah. That is embarrassing for me. Ugh.
Now, you can... yes, Ashley.
I was going to ask if I got any extra credit for when explaining why I said Georgia. explained that the stands confuse me.
The stands.
As Georgia's not a stan either.
You do not get any extra credit. I'm not in charge of this quiz, but I'm saying no.
Yeah, and I would even say you get less credit. Maybe a,
no,
a,
I should,
a point
should
off.
Actually take. Yeah. You should take a point off for me erasing Gubanova.
Erasure.
Wow.
Now this quiz has been a bit Malinin / Malinina heavy. So just to kind of reiterate that, who is the first woman to win the four continents championships?
Ilya Malinin's mom.
And her name is Mom.
Is her first name Tatiana?
Tatiana,
Malina?
Right?
Tatiana Malinina, correct. Yeah. Now, I wanted you guys to have that. Our next question. Who is the last American woman to win the Four Continents Championships?
Carrington.
Was it Ashley?
No.
No.
Are you sure? I don't know.
The American woman, and I would accept two different answers. I would accept Paulina Edmonds, or I would accept the Iron Butterfly. And Paulina won in 2015. Okay, your next question. Only three American men have ever won the Four Continents Championships. Who are they?
You.
Adam Rippon.
Yes.
Josh Ferris.
No.
Jeremy.
No.
Hmm.
Did Nathan ever go?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Did he win?
Yes.
Okay, great.
And Jason.
No. Evan Lysacek.
Ah. Adam, how does it feel to be the only one of those three that did not also win an Olympic title?
It feels... Next question.
Moving
I start
on.
Crying immediately. I quit the podcast. How does it feel? I flip the table.
How does it feel now, bitch?
But, you know, and to that I say, I'm going to ask them, how does it feel to win the Olympics but never do a figure skating podcast? Crickets from them.
Yeah.
They're flipping tables.
You're the only one who's done that.
I am. I'm still crying. Now, how many American women have won the Four Continents Championships?
12.
Okay.
Six?
Yes. Wow.
Yes.
Six. Now, I will name them.
Can we try?
Sure.
You can try.
You can try. You won't. You're not going to help me. Okay. Ashley and Paulina.
Mm-hmm. That's two.
Sasha?
No.
Wow. See?
Michelle?
People really pass on this. Sarah Hughes?
No.
Tara Lipinski?
No. Alyssa?
No. I know. It's tough.
I'm in a
Mariah?
Really exclusive club.
Rachel Flatt?
No.
Wait,
Kimmy
what?
Meisner?
Yes.
Wait, that's only three?
Yes.
We still have so many more to name.
I'm going to stop you because it will go nowhere because I know because Sarah started working on skating in the 2014-2015. So this is beyond her scope.
And I never knew anything about skating. So
in that
all
sense,
of this
Sarah
has
still
always been beyond
did
my
get the origin of Four Continents correct.
No, because you were troubleshooting. You were doing you were using context clues to find a common thread. So the other three are Angela Nikodinoff, Jenny Kirk, and Katie Taylor. Do you remember Katie Taylor?
Yeah.
And Katie Taylor famously said...
She had a pink Jeep.
No, she was going to buy herself a pink Hummer with her prize money. They said, what are you going to do? She said, I'm going to buy a pink Hummer.
Did she?
I don't know.
I hope she didn't waste her money on that.
Okay, if anyone knows if she got the pink Hummer, let us know. Please.
Our next question. Which ice dance team has the most Four Continents titles? Is it Belbin and Augusto, Virtua Moyer, Davis and White, or Chalk and Bates?
This feels like a Belbin and Augusto situation.
I'll go Davis White.
Now, you're both correct because this was a trick question.
Are they tied?
They're tied.
They all have three titles.
All four of the teams
All
have three?
Four teams have three titles.
Okay, so that's probably only going to be true for a couple more weeks.
Yes.
Well, we'll see.
Well, we'll see.
But
yes, it will. We'll see.
I don't want to write
yes,
anything off, see. But yeah.
They are really racking up the...
records.
The records.
Mm-hmm.
Sticking around pays off.
Now, someone else who racked up a lot of records, Yuzuru Hanyu. Mm-hmm. How many times has Yuzuru Hanyu won the Four Continents Championships?
Twice.
Five.
Once.
He didn't go that often.
No. If, yeah. See, Four Continents doing? Is a funny one because it's sort of a lot of what happens is a lot of times people are one and done. Or if you're like me, you're one and then keep going and then done. Now, which man has the most Four Continents titles? Patrick Chan, Nathan Chen, Evan Lysacek, or Daisuke Takahashi?
Patrick Chan was going to be my first guess.
That was my guess, too.
It is Patrick Chan. Do you want to guess how many?
Six. Four.
Three.
Three.
Evan has two. Daisuke won twice. And like stated before, Nathan Uno.
Uno.
Now.
Nathan Uno, Shoma Uno.
Mikasa Isukasa. Out of the 25 pairs gold medals that have been awarded, how many of them have been won by China?
Hmm. 19?
11?
16 of the 25 medals.
I was closer. Do I get a point for that?
Yeah. I haven't been calculating the points.
Oh, okay. We're just
if you
playing.
Go over, it doesn't count.
What?
You have to what? Stay under?
That's how it always works.
This is the Price is
Right.
I think
you have to establish that it's Price is Right rules in advance if you're doing that.
We didn't establish how we were doing any of the point system.
Which is exactly why you can't now in like make it Price is Right rules mid-game.
I disagree with your logic entirely.
The most Four Continents titles belongs to the Chinese pair team of Sui and Hong. How many titles do
that
they
feels
have?
Good.
Ashley was taking it as a statement. That's
four?
Good.
I thought it was done. Wait, I have to guess two. Five.
Six.
Whoa.
Yeah. This was their event.
Yeah. I mean, skating was their sport.
Yeah.
They're pretty, you could they're even pretty say that good at it.
They were very good at it. Yeah.
Skating was their sport.
Skating was
Dude,
their
title
sport.
Of ep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a. Oh yeah, that's very good. Where are the 2025 Four Continents being held?
Seoul.
How many times has Seoul hosted the Four Continents?
All right, three.
Are you including like
yes,
Goyang in this?
No, is Goyang Seoul?
No, but I feel like I would stay in Seoul and then go out to Goyang. So I wasn't entirely sure if they were considered like. The same.
I think it's whatever, like, the host city is on the, like, logo.
Yeah. Because by Ashley's logic, it's like, if we went to Paris and I took a train to London, would I count that competition as being hosted in London?
I don't think it's
you
that extreme. But.
Okay.
Point taken.
Well, okay. So now to Ashley's, to double down, let's, in general... How many times has Korea hosted the Four Continents Championships?
Five?
Ten.
Eight.
Mm. Price is Right rules.
You win.
Price is Right. Yeah,
pays off.
Yeah. Now, I threw this one in here just for fun. How many carats did Ashley get on her 2016 Cup of China free skate protocol?
It's not as many as I thought, but it is still a lot and egregious. But I don't remember the exact number, so but I feel like I shouldn't guess.
I'm going to go with five carats.
That was what I was going to say, too.
It was seven. Now.
Okay, but wasn't it on, how many passes
it was on?
Was
like
it
combos.
On?
It was
because
on combos,
didn't you get an
right?
under-rotated half loop?
She got triple flip, triple toe. And now this was before there were cues. Like it was when you were under, you got, if you, they,
yeah,
if
you
were
got
on
the
cue,
under.
You got under. Okay. So these are quite harsh.
Not to mention, by the way, that the under rotation penalty was more severe then too. It was 70% of base value and now it's 80.
Yeah. These bitches have no clue.
Silver spoon.
Oh, yeah. Truly. Well, because I think, okay, yes, this was under because we were doing two carats for a down.
Yeah.
Because remember when if you got it under, you got it down. That was really intense.
What?
When was that?
Oh, that's you. That used to always be it. When they started doing the double carrots, maybe like 2014, they started doing unders versus downs.
Oh, you're saying it used to just straight up always be a downgrade?
Yes. Now, if something was like on the queue, there was no queue, they'd downgrade it and you'd get just a double.
That was before my time.
Oh, it was quite intense. So
I clearly didn't understand the rules and would have trained harder if I knew that my unders were getting complete downgrades.
Okay.
I don't remember that. Okay. I don't remember that, at least in like 2014. I don't remember that.
But this is why, like, for a minute, the women stopped doing the triple triples, because it just like was not worth it. Because if something was on the queue,
you're just getting a double anyway.
Yes. Yeah. So it was just do a clean
double.
Hate
the player, hate the game. Exactly.
So Ashley did triple flip, triple toe, under. Triple loop, under. Single loop, under.
Was flip and toe, under?
No, just the triple toe, under.
Triple loop. Single loop. I got a single loop, under?
I've gotten that, too.
That's what I said. You got a half loop under rotation.
Yeah. Triple loop, under. Single loop, under. Triple sow, under. Triple flip, under. Triple loop, under. Triple lutz, exclamation point, which is gracious. Under.
Right. That was an inside edge. Yeah. But you're going to give me that as like a warning.
Yeah, but that's funny that like that's the olive branch.
No, that's funny,
that was
period.
Passed.
That's him being like exclamation
now
point.
When I read this protocol, I went, okay, Ashley does, she can hold this grudge because this is a bit egregious.
Yeah.
It was a lot.
It's a lot.
A lot.
Like I said, and you said also last podcast, he's a great guy.
And a tough
no, no one's questioning that.
No, nobody's questioning his personality.
I just think it's funny. I think it's so funny.
Now. Because I read it and I got mad then.
I did not think it was funny when I was already mad that I was competing at Cup of China and didn't receive any credit for any of the jumps that I did.
Well, you got that first triple flip.
Yeah, you did. And none of your double axels were under. You did say that,
I think,
and those were clean as a whistle.
I think I was remembering the half loop being downgraded and being like, oh my God. Because I remember that happened to you a lot.
Yes, because I don't know, like I jumped the half loop instead of, like, I made it long instead of going like up and down. So very often I would have like clean triple, under rotated half loop, clean triple, and then get the whole thing minus twos.
Out of three at that
out
time.
Of three,
yeah,
times were tough.
Can I defend lefty skating really quickly,
please? We were gonna do a whole segment on it.
I think judges are a lot harder on lefties when it comes to rotation than they are on righties, because it already just doesn't look as familiar, so they're more inclined to go back and review it.
I totally believe that
that's
that happens
an interesting
subconsciously
theory.
Yeah, I totally believe that. Wow, thank you for this quiz, Adam. That
You're
was
welcome.
A really good primer for what is
to come.
Yeah, next week we'll actually preview this event.
Exactly. I have one last question if you'd like to hear it.
Oh, I would love to hear it.
The U.S. has hosted the four continents how many times?
Seven.
Four?
Six.
Price is Right rules.
Price is Right.
Price is Right.
I've guessed six for the majority of my random guesses, and this time I was like, I'm gonna mix it up.
I've guessed four
six.
A lot of times.
Yeah.
And it hasn't been right any of those times.
Alas.
I feel like I learned a lot about the four continents. The one thing I learned, which was so surprising, was that people really, they go in, they do it, they leave, and they never come back. Or sometimes they never even go.
Yeah.
Like, it's so interesting.
It's a funny
just,
event.
It's a hard time of year. It's either all the way over in Asia or vice versa for athletes. It's just inconvenient.
Yeah.
I mean, the European Championships truly is like U.S. nationals.
Right. It's easier for all of them to travel to it is a big part of it, I think, to
a
your
huge
point,
part
Ashley.
Of it.
Yeah.
Happy Wednesday,
Wednesday,
everyone.
Till next time.
Yeah, that feels right.
That's it.
We'll see you next week. big old Four Continents draft coming right up.
Bye.